This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
The parsha, we have the Mak of Tzfardeya. Tzfardeya, besides for being a Makkah, taught a big lesson in Halacha. The Gemara tells us in Psachim, Taf Nun Gimel, that Hananya, Mishael, Vazaria was supposed to be thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh, to the fire, and Nebuchadnezzar wanted to throw them into the fire. And they hesitated, should we let ourselves be thrown into the fire? Amongst themselves, they made a Kal V'Chomer, a lesson they took, and they said, look at the Tzfardeya, who's not mitzuveh, who has no command, not on Kiddush Hashem, not on any other mitzvah for that matter, and yet they jumped into the ovens, al Kiddush Shem Shamayim, because the Rabbeinu Shloim wanted to send a makkah to the Mitzriim to bring out his name, the glory of his name, and they jumped in for that. So we, who are mitzvah in Kiddush Shem Shamayim, of course, we must jump into the oven. And so they let themselves be thrown into the oven, and the rest is history. We know that they survived. Hananya, Mishael, Vazaria miraculously survived. The Marsha brings up a very strong question. The Marsha says he doesn't understand what the connection is between Hananya, Mishael, Azariah and the Tzfardeya doesn't have the mitzvah of a Chaybahem. There's nothing wrong if the Tzfardeya jumps into an oven. Hananya, Mishael, Azariah have a mitzvah that stops them from jumping into the oven. And that is that the Chaybahem, he must live. The Torah says that the mitzvahs were given for life. So how could you learn from a Tzfardeya? It's not in the same parsha, it's not in the same... It's different. A Tzfardeya is an animal, there's no mitzvah to live. So how could you make the Kal V'Chomer? In Lashon of the Rishonim, this is called a Kal V'Chomer Mufreches, a Kal V'Chomer that has on it a question. How could you take a lesson from a case where the lesson is wrong? It's not true. A Tzfardeya has no problem of jumping into a fire because there's no mitzvah to protect its life. It has no chiyuv to make sure that it lives. While we, Klal Yisrael, Hananya, Mishael, Azariah, they have a mitzvah of a chaybahem that they have to live. So asks the Marsha. Shagas Aryeh asks a second question. Shagas Aryeh says the wording of the Gemara is very complexing. How could it say that a frog has no mitzvah? Of course it had a mitzvah. What did Hananya, Mishael, Azariah say? Look, if the frog had no mitzvah and still jumped into the fire, we that have a mitzvah, of course they have a mitzvah. The mitzvah was that Hashem told them that you will jump into the fire. Just clearly, it'll go inside you. He was told Pari, in you, in the ovens. So they had a tzibli. The master of the world, the Rebbeinu Shloim, told them to jump into the fire. What choice do they have? So how could the Gemara say that Hananya, Mishael, Azariah said, look at the Tzfardeya that had no mitzvah, and still they did it. They had a mitzvah. Answers the Shagas Aryeh that Hashem did never commanded every Tzfardeya to jump in. He commanded that from the Tzfardeya there should be those that jump in and those that don't jump in. Not everyone jumped into the fire. Some of them went up elsewhere. So who decided, meaning which frog decided to go where? You know, each frog could have told the other one, I'll take the desk job, you go to the front line. You stand in front of the oven, I'll sit behind the desk and I'll answer phone calls. You know what? Why did this Svardaya jump in while another did it? It's not that Hashem said all of them jump in, or he told which ones to jump in. He told there will be Svardaya to jump in. And yet there are those Svardaya that chose to jump in. So that's called that they were not mitzvah. And they chose. So Hanani Mishol Lazar, you learned from that, I'm going to choose to jump in also. The question was, how could you come and learn from the Tzvardeya? The Tzvardeya also had a command. And the answer is, not true. Not all of them had command to jump in. There were supposed to be Tzvardeya to jump in. Who volunteered? From that, Hanani Mishol Lazar took a lesson from the volunteers. That if they volunteered, so Kolshke, we should jump in. You know what the problem with this pshat? It comes out that if Tzvardeh has Bechira, it's free will. But the Tzvardeh decided yet to jump, not to jump. I mean, what kind of Bechira? What, one has a decision, I'll do the mitzvah, you, I won't do the mitzvah. Well, I mean, how is there a, which is a question, the Rishonim discuss, Rambam, Merinavuchim. Does an animal have choice, free will to do or to? No, probably not, right? So, how could the Shagas Aryeh explain that they had to jump in and there were those that chose to jump in? Those Svardaya that chose to jump in were the lesson to Hanani Mishol Vazaryeh. You can't choose. Could a frog make a choice? The Maril Diskin gives a different answer to the question of the Shagas Aryeh. You know what the Maril Diskin says? Actually, none of them were commanded to go in to the ovens. When Moshe Rabbeinu tells Pari, they will, it's just telling him b'nevu what will happen. None of the Tzvardei were told that they have to go into the oven. And so, there was never a tzivui, a commandment, on the Tzvardeya to jump into the oven. And yet they did. This is where Hanani Mishol Lazar took their lesson. So again, let's repeat over the information that we're processing about the Tzvardeya. Because it comes out that the Tzvardeya is making big choices. The first question we asked was from the Marsha, that the Tzvardeya has no mitzvah of a chai b'hem. So you can't learn out, you, the Jew, who must protect his life, can't learn out from a Tzvardeya. What's wrong with the Tzvardeya? Jump? Let him jump into the fire, who cares? There's no aveira for him to jump into the fire. While a Jew, it's an aveira to give up his life where he's not supposed to. So how could you learn from the frog? That's the question of the Marsha. The Shagas Aryeh's question is, how could you tell me that he wasn't commanded to fry? Of course there's a commandment. He was told to go into the fire. Animals, Bria, has to listen to Hashem. They have to listen to the Ratzon, the will of Hashem, and the will of Hashem is to go into the fire. So what are you proving? That look at the Shardeya who had no command. Of course they were commanded. Answers the Shagas Aryeh, they were not commanded, they were just a few were told. And who would be the ones to go was a decision made by the Tzvardeya themselves. And that's what Hanani Mishol Lazar were learning from. Could there be such a thing that an animal makes a choice to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim? What does that mean? How can an animal make a decision to do? What decision process is there? If there's a tzivui, Ratzon Hashem, it's the will of Hashem. The Bria, the creation, listens to the will of Hashem. But you can't say he left it up to the Tzvardeya and made a decision. And the Maril Diskin says even further, they were never a mitzvah. So what means on their own they did it? They made a calculation. I mean, what does it mean? How could a tzvartea make such a calculation? You know, I think the answer, Rabbi says, is such. Tosfos asks a nice question. Hananya Mishol Vazari, you have to learn from a frog to be Mikadi Shem Shammai? It's a mitzvah of the Torah. Yarek Valyava, the three mitzvahs. The three Averis that one must give up his life, and one of them is Avodah Zarah. It's Tosfos Teretz. But this is what Tosfos asks. Why are they taking a lesson from a tzvardeya? So truthfully, we could say, you know, they didn't take a lesson. They took chizuk, maybe. Of course they knew that there was a mitzvah of Yarek Valyavra, but it was a chizuk. Look at the tzvardeya. Like the Gemara says, go, a person who's lazy should go to an ant. A person wants to learn tznius, he should go to a cat. So all Hananya Mishael Azari was saying, you know what, let's learn Kiddush Hashem from the frog. But not that the frog is the makor, is the reason why we're doing it. We're doing it because the Torah says to do it. But could be they took a lesson of strength, of chizuk. Look at the frog. If the frog could do it, we surely could do it. But you see, Tosfos didn't like this, Terence. Tosfos gives two other answers. One answer, Tosfos says, that they were able to run away. They were able to run away. And their question was, should they anyway give up their lives? They were able to not do the Aver if they wanted. They were able to get away with it. The question is, should they offer their lives? It's interesting, very much like what we're speaking here. They weren't mitzvah. They weren't mitzvah. The frog was not mitzvah, and yet it offered to give up its life al Kiddush Hashem. Very, very much similar to the story of the tzvardeya. A second answer, says Tosfos, it wasn't really Avodah Zarah. It was a statue of the king. And so to bow down wouldn't be a problem of Avodah Zarah. It's just a statue of a king. But what? People would look at it and say, look, it looks like Avodah Zarah. There would be a Chil Hashem. It smelled bad, but it wasn't really Avodah Zarah. It had the, in Yiddish, it smelled from Avodah Zarah. It would have given a foul taste among the people. Look at Hananya Mishael Azariah bowing down to the statue. But it wasn't really Avodah Zarah. So then what's the connection to the tzvardeya? What are we seeing in the tzvardeya? What's the lesson from the tzvardeya if it wasn't really a mitzvah of Yarek Valyavra because it wasn't really Avodah Zarah? So what lesson do you take if there is, like the Marsha says, a mitzvah of a chai b'hem? Why is there not a question on the tzvardeya? The tzvardeya doesn't have the mitzvah of a chai b'hem. There's no mitzvah of a chai b'hem by the tzvardeya. But the Jew has a chai b'hem. So why is he giving up his life for something which is not Avodah Zarah? I mean, how could you learn from the tzvardeya? I'll tell you what I think the answer to all of the questions is. What does it mean, v'chai b'hem? What does it mean to live? Hananya Mishael Azariah was learning and understanding a new interpretation of what it means for a Jew, v'chai b'hem, to live. You know, a tzvardeya has no decision, like I'm telling you. He can't make a decision. What governs, what dictates by the tzvardeya? Instinct. The instinct of life, to want to live. That's all it is. So Hananya Mishael Azariah say, wait a minute. Animal like a tzvardeya, that its entire instinct is just to live. How was it able to go into a fire, into an oven, against the instinct to live? That was Hananya Mishael Azariah's lesson. That's what the point that they learned from the frog. How could it be that an animal, a frog, an insect, so to speak? Okay, I know it's a reptile, but an insect, nevertheless. Frog, all it knows is to live. How is it able to make a move into a fire to die? And the answer is because when it comes to Kiddush Shem Shammai, that's called living. In the Bria, in the creation of the world, if it comes to the honor and glory of the Rabbeinu Shleilam, giving up the life is called living. It's not a calculation. It's not a Sefer HaMitzvahs, one of the mitzvahs. It doesn't come from a mitzvah. It comes from instinct, because that's all an animal has is instinct. Life, to live, means to glorify the name of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. And so it answers all the questions. Masha asks, but they have a mitzvah v'chai b'hem chanan yimishol v'azari. Yes. But they were understanding what does it mean v'chai b'hem. If there's going to be a chil Hashem, it's not v'chai b'hem. If there's going to be a kiddush Hashem, that's called v'chai b'hem. That's called living. The Tzvardeya is able to jump into a fire, that's called live. It has to be, because all it has is an instinct to live. Our question was, Hashem gave it tzivui. It has nothing to do with tzivui. We asked the question, how could a frog make a decision? And you're right, it's not a calculation in the mind, so to speak. It's in the instinct of life. And what is called life in this world? Kiddush Shem Shammai. That's called life. You understand? And that's what Hananya Mishael Vazaria take. And you're right, it wasn't a din of Avodah Zarah. Had it been regular Avodah Zarah, you don't need to learn from a frog anything. There's a mitzvah. You got to give up your life. You give up your life. You don't learn from a frog. Because it wasn't really an Avodah Zarah. It was a Hechetimtza. It was a scenario where they were able to be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim. It wasn't Yarek Val Yavrav Yizara Isser. We're not talking about Isser like Tosis says. It was an opportunity to glorify the name of the Eibishter. Hanani Mishol Vazayu says, V'chai Bohem tells me that I should go give up my life for this also. V'chai Bohem, which tells me not to give up my life. No. I learned from the Tzvardeya that means I should give up my life. That's called v'chai. By a Jew, someone who lives in the world of the Rabbeinu Shloimeh, v'chai b'hem means to give up one's life. I want to tell you something very interesting. The Balaturim tells us, you notice in the Pasuk it says that the frogs died. They went into the yar started to smell. Says the Balaturim, you know which ones die? Only the ones that didn't go into the ovens. The ones that went into the ovens actually lived. You hear a Balaturim? The ones that jumped into the ovens lived, survived. The ones that didn't jump into the oven, they died. And you know why? According to the way we're explaining, it's beautiful. It was the lesson of the Tzvardeya, what's called life, to jump into the fire. That's called life. Not to jump into the fire. That's called not necessarily life. That could be death. Those died, these live. You thought you went into a fire. That's called dying. No. Like Hananya Mishael Vazaria. They've thrown into the fire and they live. The Torah was teaching what's called life. You think you're dying, you're being thrown into the fire. No. That's why the Tzvardeya, which was about teaching v'chai b'hem. You hear? The Shadei was supposed to teach what's called life. And so when it jumps into the fire, it lives. Those that didn't jump into the fire, they didn't make it. I want to tell you one step further. The dumb and the Tzvardeya. Klal Yisrael was represented in the Tzvardeya. The Rishonim tell us that it was one frog and they kept on hitting the frog. And more and more. Say the Rishonim, because by Klal Yisrael, that's what Pari did. He was hitting them. The Chashiyanu Oisai, Kenyir Bevechen Yifreitz. The more he hit them, the bigger they got. So the Tzvardeya represents Pari. You're trying to kill Klal Yisrael. You're trying to destroy. You're trying to annihilate. And yet they grow and grow and get bigger and bigger. And so I believe that that's the lesson of the Kiddush Shem Shemayim here too. You think you're throwing the Yid into the oven. You think the Jew gets thrown into the oven and he's dying. No, the opposite. He's going to live. That's called V'chai Behem. The more you hit it, the more you make it suffer, the bigger it grows. And this was after the Mak of Dum. Dum was supposed to represent the blood that was spilled. Rishonim tell us the blood of the Jew is represented in Dum. Teaches the Rabbeinu Shalom with the next Makat Tzvardeya. Don't think you're killing them. The blood is getting spilled. But Tzvardeya, L'chai B'hem, they're actually living that way. The Pasuk says that Hashem goes down to Mitzrayim and he sees blood. And I tell you, you live through the blood. Pari thinks he's spilling Jewish blood. He's not spilling Jewish blood. He's making life from Holocaust comes of flourishing of Klal Yisrael. The creation of a Klal Yisrael after a Holocaust is b'damayi chayi. You throw the Jew into the oven, the next generation, it grows and grows and flourishes to a whole new level that it never reached before. Tzvardeya. The mark of Tzvardeya is to teach dumb. You're spilling Jewish blood. You think you're spilling Jewish blood? No, Tzvardeya. The more you hit it, the more it grows. The more you hit it, the more it gets bigger. It jumps into the ovens, it lives. When the Jew lives for the Rabbeinu Shloilam, there's no way to annihilate it. It lives on. It's interesting. The Mitzrayim died by Tzvardeya. It says clearly that they were dying in the Pasuk. And the Rishonim wonder, how did they die? What exactly caused them to die here? Tzvardeya, they're just frogs. So now we know in science, you go to the zoo, and the reptiles, they have the poisonous frog. So maybe they were poisonous frogs. You know, there's a frog, there's a poisonous frog.
Yeah,
a poisonous frog in Brazil, yeah. So maybe this is the Tzvardeya and Mitzrayim. They were killing them. They were poisonous. Possibly. Listen, a frog goes into your intestines. Maybe that's how you die, listen. You
know.
Unless you're French, you don't want to eat, you don't want to have it in your intestines frogs, right? Maybe that was killing them. They couldn't digest it. Many Rishonim, and Reb Shamshon Feldhirsch talks about it, learned that the Tzvardeya was a crocodile. The crocodiles. The Tzvardeya came up from the river. It was a crocodile. It was one big croc. In America we call it an alligator, but in Australia they call it a croc. So the croc came, the big croc, and he hit it, and little crocodiles came out of it. And that was killing them. A crocodile could kill. Shamshon Feldhirsch doesn't like the pshat. It's a discussion. The Baal HaTurim says a different pshat. The Baal HaTurim says that besides for the Tzvardeya, Nechashim, snakes came. And the snakes were killing them. So I always wonder if the Makis Svardeya, why are you sending the Chashan to kill them? What's the idea of the Nachash in the Makkah of Tzvardeya? It's interesting that in every Makkah, I'm sorry, in the Simen, the Ois was about a snake. Why a snake? The stick turns into the snake. Does anybody have an explanation why it has to be about snakes? Unless snake is a scary thing and you have to scare Paro, maybe, could be. Maybe he wants to scare Paro. All of a sudden, a king cobra gets born in front of Paro. Get me out of here. Maybe. Or maybe we could say that there's a deep understanding here. You know, the snake resembles death. When you want to have Satan, they have pictures of Satan. It's always with the snake in there, right? It also represents life. You know, the sign of a doctor is the snake, medical, throughout the world. Is it a mamis or is it a mechaya? And the truth is, it's from the Torah. Nechash and nechashis. The snake bit them, yet when they looked at the snake, it healed them. Is a snake a may? You know, there's a famous rule in the Gemara, ein kateger, asasaneger. So which one is it? Is it this or is it this? So which one is it? Does he kill or does he? And the answer is, the nachash is a tremendous lesson. Yes, it's the most venomous to kill. But the truth is, if you have bitachin, you look up to Shemayim and you trust Hashem, the snake can't do anything to you. Ein anachash meimis, elachet meimis. The Gemara brings the Tana, who put his foot on the snake, and nothing happened. And he wants the opposite. Woe to the snake that this Tana comes in his contact. What's the Pshat, Rabbi Yisai? Pshat's like this. The snake will kill you. But if you live with Hashem, all the snakes in the world can bite you and nothing will happen. By Paro, it's a snake. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Mateh HaLikim. That he does all the miracles to save Klal Yisrael. Paro, you think you're biting the Jew and you're killing him. I'll take the snake in my hand. And you know what I'll show you? It becomes Mateh HaLikim. And with this Mateh HaLikim, not only I don't destroyed Klal Yisrael, I saved Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael's entire Geula, redemption, its rebirth to life came from this matter. The snake turns into the Mateh HaLikim. It all depends what? In whose hands is it? Here, Rabbi Yisai. So Tzvardeya is the lesson of what? You think you're killing the Yid. No, the opposite. You're healing the Jew. You're taking him and you're giving him Kura Barzel. You're giving him a workout. And he gets bigger and stronger from you. The more you hit it, the more you surim you give it, the greater it becomes, the healthier it becomes, Klal Yisrael. Just like salt sweetens the meat, says the Gemara, the Yisurim, strengthen the person, strengthen the Jew. So together with Svardeya, the Eibush sends the Nachash. The Nachash, which is a representation of death and the opposite. Miraculous healing. Death and miraculous healing. You hear? Death and miraculous healing. Paro, you think you're biting the Jew. Yeah, the truth is, no, you're not. No, you're not. They look up to Shemayim, and the Nechash and Nechoshes heals them. This Rabbi Yisai was Makas Svardeya V'chai B'hem, to teach what's called life and what's called death. what's called life and what's called death. The idea of the Tzvardeya. Chazanish writes, people think mistakenly that if a person learns a lot, or he's wakes up early and goes to sleep late because he's doing mitzvahs and davening, he's going to burn out and get sick. People think that. You need a vacation. A person needs a break. Otherwise, not going to be able to handle it. Too much! Says the Chazanish in his Igreis, it's not true. No one ever got sick, no one ever died because he overlearned or davened too much, no such thing. He says, Torah and mitzvahs cannot be a catalyst for someone to not be feel good. It's not true. Yeah, but what do you mean? But my body, I'm working hard. Stress. Early, late, running. Where's my life? I have no life. A guy. If you gave a guy such Torah and mitzvahs, like the Gemara says by Sukkah, they gave him the mitzvah Sukkah, and all of a sudden the heat comes out. So what do? They kick the sukkah. Maran Amoy Dessert says that when Mashiach comes, the goyim will complain, give us a mitzvah, you didn't force us. So Hashem will give them the mitzvah sukkah. The sun will come out, Hashem will bring out the sun, it will be so hot they'll leave. And when they leave, they kick the sukkah. Everybody asks, but a Jew's also potter. When you're hot and you can't take it, a Jew is also potter. And you know what the answer, Rabbi, I think is? The minute the guy gets a little bit, he's out. You know why? Because he's a mitzdayer. He can't take it. The minute it gets a little difficult, the mitzvah, he can't take it. For a yid to leave a sukkah, he's got to really be a mitzdayer. He's got to really not. He really can't take it anymore. Because by a Jew, a mitzvah is not a tzar. They don't feel it. They feel good when they're in the sukkah. Ah, it's boiling hot. The tchun of a yid is to take a mitzvah and fakir, even though it's stress and it's difficult, and a guy would burst already. I have no life. Look what you're making me day and night. That's why they do Christianity. You know Christianity? It's easy. It's once a week. You go to church with your kids. Everybody's wearing a nice suit with a beautiful hat, you know. It's got to be enjoyable, otherwise. Then you tell them stories about angels and gods. Beautiful stories. Imagine if I had to come and say stories all day about angels. I'd have a packed chair. You'd have 500 people sitting here. Malachim and God, and Hashem wants this, and Hashem loves you. Great, it'll be unbelievable. Yid is not looking for that. Yid is looking for shibud.
Hallelujah.
A Jew looks, yes, give me mitzvahs. Ratzakadosh Baruch Hu lezakeis es Yisrael. Fikach hirbalem teira mitzvahs. That's lezakeis es Yisrael. You don't leave me alone for a second. From the morning to night, and mitzvahs and more mitzvahs and more mitzvahs and more mitzvahs. What are you doing to me? And the answer is only a Jew understands lezakris, that this is a schus. You're right, a guy can't handle this. I think that's what the Chazanish means, that a Jew doesn't get sick from mitzvahs. It doesn't happen. It's stressful. You ever see a yeshiva boy looking for a lulav and esrog? The stress. The answering all day long, he's busy. Another guy would burst from it. I can't take it. You make me crazy. What do you make me crazy for? And I think that's the pshat. What does it mean? Kiheim chayenu. Torah mitzvahs is our life, and it's also oirich yameinu. We don't die young, so to speak, because we learn Torah and mitzvahs. It's Arich Yameinu. We could live the opposite. It's our health. The best thing for our health and our longevity. You know, today they put out magazines for longevity. you eat this berry and you with this mixture with this, you know, together. You ever see what a guy is busy with? All day long, he's busy with his longevity to make himself live long. You hear? If he takes the acuberry together with this herb and together and he puts it and he mixes it and he blends it and he drinks this and he goes here and he sits like this, all day long he's busy with it. And at the end, they don't live long anyway. Either they get run over by a car as they're buying the stuff from the health food store.
Organic.
Or they get AIDS from doing tremendous aveiros. You can eat all the berries in your world, you'll do aveiros, you'll still get AIDS. It's not going to help you from AIDS. You know what I mean? What?
Overdosing.
Overdosing with you can eat all your berries you want, it's not going to help you. You know the ingredient? Uvahem nege yoyim avalayla. Oirich yameinu comes from uvahem nehege. You know what nehege means? To toil, to work hard. Yoyim avalayla, we work day and night. Another guy say, you gotta crack up. Not a Yid, a Jew doesn't crack up from that. He cracks up from not learning. I never saw a Yid crack up because he learned too much. It never happens. Now, we have younger boys sometimes that they overdo it. We're not discussing Lefi the Darga. But it wasn't from overwork. Sometimes a person jumps further than his koiches. I'm not discussing that. But if a person, a mature person, learns day and night, he's fine. He doesn't need no vacations in Hawaii and in Florida. He's fine learning the way he is. Ki heim chayenu the oirech yameinu uvoham nege yoim uvalaylo. This is Makis Tzvardeya. Makis Tzvardeya is to teach us, yeah, that a person, a yid, what is v'chay b'hem? I found a makar for all this that we're speaking. A good point where I learned this from. There's a sefer Mirei Shamana, which is the Sichos, Shmuzin of Rav Shach Zeche Tzadik Mavrocha. And it's a very nice sefer because it quotes word for word from the Shmuz, from the Sicha. So you really get the language. When you read it, you start to feel almost like Rav Shach is sitting and talking in front of you. And one of the Knesset Gedolos, Rav Shach, got up and he said a story. He told over a story. He told over a story about. He told over a story about a group of Yidden that were being led to the furnaces in the Holocaust. Amongst themselves, they're talking that it's Simchas Torah. Today is Simchas Torah. They don't have a Sefer Torah to dance hakafas, to dance around with the Torah. What do? This is the mitzvah of the day, our final mitzvah maybe. And we don't have the Sefer Torah to dance. So they said amongst themselves that they have an idea. It's true they don't have a Sefer Torah, but they have themselves that they're Yidden. We'll dance with each other and we'll hold each other. This will be like we're dancing with the Sefer Torah. So brings Rav Shach a story. It's a beautiful story. The way Yid appreciates that he's a Jew. We'll dance with ourselves. We don't have the Sefer Torah, but we have our. We're Yidden. We'll dance with ourselves. We'll hold each other. We'll dance. Rav Shach says, and this is in front of Knesset Gedolah, in front of thousands of people. He says, I don't know what you're thinking when you hear a story like this, but I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I would give up all my years of what I've learned in Davin. I'd give it all up just to be part of that group of Jews. Don't you forget, mind you, as they say. Rav Shach was Marabit's Torah 90 years. You're talking about unbelievable amounts of years of teaching Torah. The world stood up. His abatz is tyrant. And he says, I'm ready to give it all up. Yeah? He says, I'm ready to give up just to be part of that group because they experienced true life. What does it mean to live? He says, you think they were thrown into the ovens to die, but actually they were living in the ovens. Al Kiddush Shem Shemayim. I learned from that sicha everything I just told you, all the above shmuz, all the above musr. The Tzfardeya taught the same thing. What does v'chai behen mean? Hananya, Vishol, Azar, you didn't take out to die Al Kiddush Hashem. They took out a lesson. What does it mean? Life. How a Jew views v'chai behem. V'chai behem means I could be thrown into an oven. If it's Kiddush Shem Shemayim, I experience life with that. A guy may not, has no clue, has no understanding of all this. But a Yid, a Jew, learns and lives b'chai b'hem through Kiddush Shem Shemayim. The Beis Yosef asked the Maggid that came to teach him, how come he never died Al Kiddush Hashem? He's davening all his life that he should die Al Kiddush Hashem. How come he doesn't die Al Kiddush Hashem? The Maggid answers him that you have a greater lot in life. Your avoid and tafkid is bigger than dying Al Kiddush Hashem. What is that? That's to live Al Kiddush Hashem. To live Al Kiddush Hashem is greater. It's even more difficult than to die Al Kiddush Hashem. And so, Beis Yosef lived, and he wrote the Beis Yosef, which from that we have all the Shulchan Aruch. Even till today, keep Torah and Mitzvahs Kalach because of the Beis Yosef, because of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Tafkid was living Al Kiddush Hashem. They say this between Avram and Yitzchak, that Avram had to live after the Akedah, so he was going to live Al Kiddush Hashem, which was harder than Yitzchak giving up in one moment his life Al Kiddush Hashem, and that's why it's called Akedah of Avram. Lazari shall Avram berachamim tiskar, because Avram's credit in the Akedah is bigger than Yitzchak's. Many Mepharshim say, as a matter of fact, that's even the Pshat in Yitzchak, that Yitzchak was supposed to be a carbon. He was a carbon, and he became a carbon Michayim. That in his life he lived a life of carbon, a life of sacrifice. You know, Rabbi Isai, we also have Mesiras Nefesh. Now, the generations before us have Mesiras Nefesh that they were taken and thrown into ovens. Our Mesiras Nefesh is a different Mesiras Nefesh. From within, we have tremendous tests. We have tremendous difficulties. Society, the days that we live in, the nisyonis that we have to go through on a constant basis, is Mesiras Nefesh. We have to go through our Kiddush Shem Shemayim through this Mesiras Nefesh. And we have to learn V'chai Behem. The Jew feels and experiences life only with Mesiras Nefesh. If it means that we come to learn when we're supposed to learn, even though we have difficult. The day is difficult. We still come to learn. And even in Bein Alma Chaveira, you think it's easy to bend. You think it's easy to not exist, so to speak, when it comes to friends. Me, you did to me. Marvel Midaisov. What does the Gemara say about Marvel Midaisov? He gets Arichas Yomim. Haroitze Lahach Yois. Yomis Atzmi, says the Gemara. There's a different type of Mesiras Nefesh required of us today, and that is to be Moser us, ourselves, for Avoida, for Chesed, for Midas Toivus. That's also Mesiras Nefesh. It's sacrificing yourself. You're sacrificing yourself. There was a time when we sacrificed by being thrown into an oven. That's true. That was previous generation. Our sacrifice is self-sacrifice. To learn, to daven, to do chesed and not to make machloikis. This, Rabbi Yisai, is v'chai b'hem. You'll only experience true enjoyment of life through sacrifice.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.